Welcome back to the discussion as we talk through the principle and applications of the unique callings of men and women. We're happy you are here and hope that you find this discussion as beneficial as we have found them as we talk through both the principle and application just amongst ourselves. Just a reminder, my name is Ben Kratz. I'm the pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and also serve as one of the pastoral advisors for the Women's Ministry Committee. Maybe we'll take a quick walk just around the table to introduce ourselves once more, just so that people can put names to voices, and we can go from there.
My name is Dawn Schultz, and I have the pleasure of chairing the Wells Women's Ministry team and coordinating some of the things that we work on.
And I'm Naomi Schmidt. I also serve on the Wells executive team, and I live in Wisconsin. I'm a pastor's wife. My husband is retired, and I'm happy to be in the conversation.
I'm Christy Meyer. I serve on the Wells Women's Ministry exec team as well. And I am the project manager, point person, et cetera, for this devotional series this summer.
All right, Christy, as the project manager, why don't you give us a quick reminder of just how these emails work and kind of what the difference is, since people are getting two emails a week, just how those all fit together.
You are getting two emails a week. We love sending you two emails a week. And the reason that we love sending you two emails a week is because one is principal and one is application. So the first devotion of each week focuses on a timeless biblical principle, what is true as it was originally inspired, both when it was inspired and up till now. The second email of each week is written by the same author and delves a little bit deeper into some of the applications of that principle. What does it look like in our world today when we look at what the Holy Spirit inspired, but which may change in time, in space, in culture, etc. And so maintaining a balance between those two, but always starting with the principle so that we have a firm foundation on which to base our discussion of applications.
All right. So since this is our first discussion of the week, we are looking at the email that's focused more on the biblical principle, which can be at times a little bit harder because I think our brains like to jump right to application and say, okay, what does God's word say? And now how can I immediately apply this to my life? And yet the email this week takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Why do you think it's important to start at the Garden of Eden as we discuss and kind of work through the callings that God has given to men and women?
I think it's been really important for us to go back to the garden, because if we start anywhere else, we're starting down the wrong path. I think as we look around and we look at society that's kind of really confused right now about even gender identity, we look within the church and go, there's some struggles here. We have some questions. And so where do we find those answers? And I think going all the way back to the garden takes us back to what God started. And it just says, this is the solid picture. This is the creation of the world where God said, this is how I created it. And for me personally, it helps me to remember that I'm the created being. And so I do want to listen to what does the creator say? I want to understand what he has to say before I start thinking about what do I want to be and how do I want to do it? I want to listen to him first.
And I think when you do, it opens your eyes to what an amazing God we have. You know, if I base who I am and how I see the world and how it relates to me and how I relate to everybody else solely on the way my brain can conceive it, I don't want a God that is that small. He is so infinite and so wise. And I need to go back to what he says to really see how this all fits together. And that just makes that so much more clear.
For me, it's so important to go back to the Garden of Eden, partially because of what Dawn and Naomi just said, that you get a glimpse of God, you get a glimpse of what his image is. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But also because this is a doctrine, we're talking about unique callings of men and women, right? This is a doctrine that I think our society for sure, and sometimes also some in our churches, are tempted to set aside or say, we're living in a modern world. Men and women are equal. Unique callings doesn't make sense in the way that we look at sex or gender anymore. And when you go back to the garden, you're reminded that these were established before the creation of the world. These were established in perfection. They were established to create man and woman in the image of God. and therefore these are perfect. They're marred by sin. And we're going to talk about that in our second conversation this week, but these are perfect callings. And therefore they're not something that we should set aside. They shouldn't be something that we want to set aside. It's something that we want to continue to try to work on and grow because God is the one who created them in perfection.
Well, and it's even so crazy because I think in America, especially, but the Western world, we are like masters of our domain. And that's just how we perceive things. But the whole rest of the world really gets the idea that there is fate and that things happen that are outside of their control. And they're okay with that. And so to come back to that very truth that's in the Bible, that we have a loving God who did create us and has a plan for us, is so much more comforting than the I might screw it up, you know, I might, you know, make the wrong decision or something like that. To find a loving God who has a loving design is so much more comforting.
I think that loving design is super crucial to continue to point to, right? And this is where we're going to talk all the way through the summer about how these are intended to bring us blessings. We know we have a loving God who has a perfect design, who works everything for our good. And that is something to really point to when it gets hard or when living out our unique callings is difficult.
Another aspect I thought of, just it's not something we come up with or have come up with on our own, that it's not as though we can look and say, well, the church has just decided that men and women have unique callings. But by taking it back all the way to the Garden of Eden, like you guys said, this is something God has given to us as a blessing to us. And I like how you said it, Christy, that it was established in perfection as this wonderful blessing for Adam and Eve. And while still marred by sin now, because sinful people are trying to live out these callings God has given to it, it just makes it hard, but that doesn't take away from it the blessings that God intends to give us through it, which is at times just hard to see. So one of the things we hear at creation is not only that God gives Adam and Eve unique callings, but he also describes how it as he creates Adam and Eve unique and special from everything else in God's creation, says that we're created in God's image, you know, that we are perfect and holy, that Adam and Eve had this perfect understanding of God's will and a perfect desire to carry that will out. And, you know, God says, you know, humans are still, we have lost that image and that perfection. And yet I think there's still some blessings just to think about that. I guess, what does it mean to you that Adam and Eve were created in the image of God as male and female? And now how, as a believer, that image is restored in you?
I remember I was an adult, like well into my adulthood, before I really had my eyes open to what scripture was saying when it said that man and women or woman was made in the image of God. Like I really legitimately thought I was made in the image of man. And so to, you know, and to have that understood that there are qualities that God has that he gave to me was such a beautiful thing. It really, like, again, changed my whole perspective and made me see everything and the joy or the things that, you know, I struggle with, or I think, oh, that's a womanly characteristic and just hated, I could see a little bit differently and see, you know, that some things that I'm so overly passionate about, God is overly passionate about me too, to the point of sending his son. And so I think just, I don't know, it personally was such a joy to understand that being made in the image of God meant that my desire, my will, my thought were his perfectly at one time. And through his word, he just keeps bringing that out in me and restoring that in me. It was just a huge joy for me to learn that.
I think playing off of that, and these are phrases that we're going to talk about, I think, again, in the second one this week, emotion, will, and oh, help me out. What's the third one?
Intellect.
Thank you. Emotion, will, and intellect. Feeling what God feels, wanting what he wants, and thinking what he thinks. And there's other ways to express the image of God. That's not the only way to do it. But I love looking at what each of those unique aspects brings to the image of God. That my thoughts in perfection, and this will be restored one day, right? When we're in heaven and are perfected. My thoughts are in line with God's thoughts, my emotions, and my will. Those are huge aspects of our being. And it helps me to break it down that way, just to think this is what God is like, and one day I will again be perfected in that. Now it's not perfect as through a glass darkly, but one day we'll get there.
Oh, that's so true. I think I find too in my own life that the encouragement I've gotten from being reminded of that image too is that it kind of takes the pressure off of me to figure out like what makes my life valuable, what makes the things that I do and who I am. Is that there's so much around me in this world that makes me think you've got to be a great person. You've got to do great things. My value comes from what I do. And when I back up and I look at the image of God, I'm so humbled that He would put His Holy Spirit within us, that He would create us in a way and then save us so that we are able to think His thoughts after Him, to be able to desire what He desires. And I don't find that at all confining. I find that very freeing, just with that idea again that this is God's great plan. And as I pursue His holiness and live in that, it's a very full life, but it's a full life that I've been given, not one that I have to strive after and struggle towards. And so just that joy of now I get to do all of this rather than feeling that I have to. And to me, that's the image of God that's been given that is so beautiful. And but it also is very clear. It gives me a good framework of how I can evaluate things and how I can determine what is valuable and how to act. So there's really fantastic encouragement there for just even daily living.
I love what you just said, that you don't have to figure it out. I think that is our default position, right? Something's mm-hmm. going wrong, or I don't know how my life is going. I have to figure it out. No, we can turn back to God and say, look, He has a plan for us and we'll see it eventually, but it isn't on us. It isn't up to us to figure it out. That's incredibly, you said freeing. I would also say comforting in terms of yes, there's many ways for me to screw it up.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about Eve, she was a perfect suitable helper just by showing up. You know, there was nothing that she had done for that qualification to be there. And to know that is what God designed is, yeah, it just, my cheeks are hurting because I'm smiling so much.
Which, Dawn, is a great, I guess, segue to, I guess, my next question for y'all of being able to now take that image of God, that blessing that God gave to Adam and Eve and now is restoring in us. Are there any particular aspects of that image, that restored image of God in us, that are meaningful to you, especially now when we are talking about the unique callings God has given to man and woman?
I'm going
to
tip my hand a little bit and say, here's a commercial for, I believe it's week 5. My particular one is that if you look at, so we talk about woman being created as a helper, right? And if you look at who most often is a helper or giving help in the Old Testament, that is God. It is perfect help that He gives. And again, I'm tipping my hand, we're getting into week 5, but I love that what God created me for as a woman is something that He Himself does. That is beautiful and amazing. And yes, I know that there are many other aspects of the image of God that I reflect in my life, but that particular one, especially because that particular one often can feel constraining or restrictive or inferior or subordinate. It's not, because God Himself fulfills it. So that's my one particular aspect that I would point to.
Oh, that's really cool. I like thinking about that. I had imagined just focusing on God's the thought idea, that our thoughts kind of follow after God's, or that our thoughts reflect His thinking. And I was just reminded, you know, of the passage that talks about, you know, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when you capture that thinking, that God's thinking is pure and holy, it's reflected in Scripture, that is so different than how the world thinks. And so I've really come to treasure the idea of being in the Word in a way that will shape my thinking, that it isn't just I read it and then I feel good. that's not what it's about. It's about looking at God's word and saying, this is what is true and good and right. And I want to think these kinds of thoughts. And so in carrying the image of God, I'm just very conscious of the blessing we have of being able to think his thoughts after him and to have the word of God that shapes our thinking. And that's just been really important to me as we've kind of gone through this conversation as well.
I kind of alluded to it before, but you know, the Psalm 18, where it talks about God just hearing the prayers of his people and riding to their aid and their rescue. Very descriptive, very passionate, very bold in the way that he does that. And I think, like I said before, I think sometimes as women, I know I've heard conversations of I'm too much, or I'm too big or too passionate, and I wish I could just be more reserved and quiet, because we think that that's, you know, the what we're supposed to be. And when, like I said, I understood that the image of God has that emotion, that his emotion is my emotion. It helps me shape, you know, where it's easy to go astray and it's easy to let my sinful desire, my sinful thoughts rule that passion. But when I understand that that is in the image of God, that I am passionate about what he's passionate about, that I pour that energy and time and thought into the hurting and the lost and those who so desperately need Jesus, it again helps shape my identity and what I do and who he, the good works he prepared in advance for me to be doing. And again, the joy of just being that woman that he created me to be.
And I think bringing it back to both what Naomi said and John, what you just said, we get to be passionate about what God is passionate about. And the way we get to do that is by being in the word. That's how we figure out what God is passionate about. That's how we are reminded what we should care about. And so my pastor's phrase, and I love this one, time in the word is never time wasted. It's the way you learn about what the image of God is like and how you grow more toward being in that image.
I think one of the things that I had thought of too, just as we were talking about this, is the security that we have then in being prepared for the discussion, because we're not coming into a conversation about roles or a conversation about some of these unique callings feeling like I need someone to give me value. I need to be recognized, or I need to, whatever that is. We come into it in this position of security because God made us and God designed us and his word guides us. And so I think it just really puts us in a good spot where all of our needs and our feelings and our thoughts are kind of put aside, and we're just able then to be who we are in Christ. And that just makes for a better conversation.
And to add to that, I think then too, what we see in what God created in man is also God's image, and that is being restored, and we can look for that image to be there, and the joy of seeing those aspects of God's image revealed, you know, as we work together, growing in God's word, partnering in gospel ministry, you know, sharing the good news with the world, like just what a joy to see that on the counterpart as well, and look for that.
Which is really where our second half of this week's devotions are going to take us, more into the application of that. I guess, Naomi, as the author of this week's devotions, I guess, can you give us a sneak peek of what we're looking for or looking at later this week?
Right. Well, it does really just follow what Don was saying. We can spend time talking about, you know, the God's image and then how he created male and female. But, you know, it's not just about taking a look at how God designed women. If we only look at that half, we're missing the other half. And so there is this fantastic interdependence, and it is this fitting together where God says, I'm going to make you different, equal, both have my image, all of those things. And yet he does make us different, and he wants us to delight in that and find joy in it. But there's so much more for us to understand about what that means and how it shapes how we work together. So later this week, we are really going to hit that on the head and go, hey, how does this shape our interactions as men and women? And what does that look like?
So something obviously look forward to. I'm looking forward to the discussion that we'll have about that email later this week. Just a reminder too, just because you get these emails, say on like a Tuesday and a Thursday, doesn't mean you can only read the emails on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can actually go back and read them. They should still be in your email inbox later. So you can go back to these emails. You can even listen to these discussions again as a way to kind of prime the pump, if nothing else, as you wait for the next devotion to come out, or as a way just to continue to dig into God's word. So until we jump back here on Thursday and talk about our next email, we'll see you then.